Cinco de Mayo weekend. It is going to be huge. It's a 4 o'clock in the morning kickoff for anybody in the UK, but still, that doesn't really matter. It's going to be massive, isn't it?
My alarms are set already. I've already put an alarm on me and my dad's phone. I can't believe it's actually here already. I mean, it feels like 5 minutes ago we spoke about the announcement.
Yeah.
And now it's come around, and obviously there's going to be huge talking points of the normal Canelo's power versus Khan's speed, and that's obviously probably been spoken about on this show many times before, but I think everyone thought that when the fight first was announced, but watching the build-up, the media workout from the 24/7s today on Box Nation, people have taken advantage, I think, of Canelo's speed. He's so quick. Mm. And I think he's been practicing that, obviously knowing that Khan comes in with his natural technical footwork and speed. But the media workout that I see of him today with his trainer, he looks so fast. So I think people have overlooked that a little bit where he's got his relentless combinations and he's got his come forward attitude, and obviously he's got power. He's quite a big guy. But I think people have overlooked his speed a little bit. But on the other hand, I've looked at Khan today and he looks very quite natural at the weight. Obviously much bigger. He's come up in weight to fight for this title. But he looks like he hasn't struggled to get there. Virgil Hunter said that he made it quite easily and he's been working on a lot to maintain at that weight. The only thing that worries me is on the night, Canelo is going to come in a hell of a lot heavier. Because obviously it's a day before weighing, isn't it? And on the night, he's been known to put on up to 9 to 10 pounds when he's got in against Cotto. So obviously Khan can make the 155 limit. But on the night, I mean, Canelo's been known to come in at 172. So for me, that's a little bit worrying. I'm still sticking with my first opinion that Canelo's going to do it. I just don't think that Khan can withstand his power.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that as well.
But then again, Canelo's only loss has come against Floyd Mayweather, and the resemblance between him and Khan are quite similar. I mean, you can't say they're the same fighter because Floyd Mayweather, for me, is like a level above. But Floyd moves, he boxes, he stays on the back foot, he winds you up, and he don't let you have your feet set. And he don't let you work. And I think that's what Virgil Hunter's been working on with Khan, is like the jab, move, frustrate him and stay out of the way. And you know what? If it wins you a fight, he's doing the right thing. But Canelo is absolutely relentless with the come forward. His combinations just don't stop. He doesn't take a breather in there. And watching the 24/7 programs, I am even more excited now for Box Nation. The second one's on tonight, by the way. If anyone's not doing anything in an hour's time, the second episode of 24/7 is on, and it's absolutely brilliant to see behind the scenes of what these guys are doing and how they're training and stuff. But Canelo's team today have said they know what they need to bring to Khan to give it to him. But they've also said that they know from previous examples like Garcia that he can't really take a shot on the chin. So for me, Canelo goes in the favourite, but Khan's got a hell of a lot to prove. And good luck to him if he does it. I mean, bringing another belt back to Britain.
Yeah, that is it. It'd be wonderful to get another belt back in the country and on another British fighter. It is going to be a difficult task, I feel, for Amir Khan, this one. It's going to be very hard. I'll tell you what, it's nice to see them actually teaming up in a way. Have you seen the little messages for Donald Trump, who is going to be attending the fight? Amir Khan making a bit of a joke about it, saying that this could actually be his last fight in America if Donald Trump becomes president. So they're both talking about it. Yeah, they've both been talking about this. He said, that's if Donald Trump becomes president. It's going to be my last fight here. De La Hoya has said that Trump will be attending the fight, but he will not be ringside. So I guess he's going to be having a nice little fancy skybox or something like that. He's going to be sat in the gods watching that one. It's been brilliant to hear. And you can check out our Audio Boom page, actually, and find out a little bit more about what's been going on with Khan and Canelo on there, because there's so much audio from Las Vegas on that. It's going to be such a fight. 4 o'clock in the morning. Alarms do need to be set without a doubt. Getting back to Britain, and of course there was a media conference yesterday. Talking of American networks, though, Showtime getting a deal with Anthony Joshua, which is fantastic for AJ, isn't it? So good.
I mean, I think they'd be stupid not to, wouldn't they, really?
Yeah,
they see what he does over here, and I think they just know that it could add such a different dimension and different audience to their Showtime, really.
And what a great bonus it is for him as well, because they're a great network, Showtime. They've got some brilliant programming anyway, but they do love their boxing, and to get on there is brilliant, and it's just another step into that world domination market for Anthony Joshua, isn't it?
Give massive credit to Eddie Hearn as well for setting that up, but I think Joshua deserves it. I mean, Showtime, as you said, are fantastic. They love their sport. They know what they're doing. And they obviously looked at Joshua as a British heavyweight that they're proud to announce it's been signed with. So massive, massive congratulations to Joshua as well. He's going to be, we knew he'd dominate the world. I knew that when he won the gold medal in 2012. But it's happening so quickly for him. I mean, the Charles Martin, he signed with Showtime. He's got his next fight announced already. I mean, it all seems to be just picking up momentum so quickly. And then yesterday, the Dominic Brazil flew in, didn't he, yesterday?
Yes.
To do all of the media attending. And it got a bit heated. I don't know if you see it.
Yeah, I did. I watched online. It last night, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Joshua, it seemed to get under Joshua's skin straight away. Whether that was from, I know they was definitely met back at the Olympic Village or whatever, because they were both at the 2012 Games. But Joshua just labelled him another American with a big mouth that he'd knock out. So
yeah.
British fans can get excited about that. But Dominic Brazil is totally confident. Obviously, he's not going to go in there, not confident. But he says that he's got everything it takes to take Joshua out. Again, another American coming to the O2, thinking he can do it. So it just makes it a little bit more exciting. It seems Joshua's got it under his skin this time. He seems a bit more edgy to get back in there. He wants to get back in there straight away. So it's going to be another electric night in June.
Well, you know what? I was talking to a sports psychologist earlier today, talking about how champions or, you know, teams that have done so well end up not doing as well when they're trying to either defend their titles or they're, you know, they're trying to do, you know, another successful season. And basically she was saying to me that it's all about the camp. It's all about the preparation. If you lose something, if something changes, it throws you off the game. This is a good thing about Joshua because nothing is changing. He wants to get straight in there, doesn't he, against Dom
and just knock his block off.
Exactly.
I think I agree with the lady. Obviously, I'm not a psychiatrist, but when things change, when you get complacent in a camp, I mean, when you continue to keep knocking people out and people are boosting your ego and you get a little bit complacent and then maybe something changes that you're not happy with, you can put fight dates back and then end up not fighting for 9 months. And for me, that gets a little bit tedious because then you've got the belt and what can I do with it? But for me, Joshua's keeping his camp the same. His friends are the same. He's in the gym every day from what I've seen of him. And as you said, he just wants to get back out. I mean, he could have left it really till like September, October, couldn't he? Easy,
yeah.
If he wanted to. But he hasn't. He's gone straight back in June in his hometown, doing the media call straight away. He just wants to fight. And I know it sounds silly being a boxer, and that's your job. But yeah, he could have sat back on that belt and had a little bit more talk and a little bit more contract agreements. But he hasn't. He's gone straight back in with a name that was put into the pot beforehand. So yeah, he's not disappointing. I think he's just wants to get in and do his job.
Yeah, exactly. That's all he's trying to do, isn't he? He just wants to carry on and crack on and do the best that he can, which is what you want out of anyone, really, isn't it? And if you look at this fight as well, which, you know, is going to be cracking, it's going to be live on Sky Box Office as well, this one, on June the 25th. Eddie Hearn's been talking a lot. He's been saying today that AJ needs a rest after this fight. He needs a break. But he's also saying that, yeah, we're in early negotiations with Tyson Fury. It's already kicking off.
Well, again, that's another whet the appetite of the fans, I think that is. I think that's just his way of saying that he knows what the fans want and he wants to give it to them. But after this fight, if Joshua does successfully defend the belt, then he does need maybe a couple of months off if he's going to go into a fight that's such as big as Tyson Fury. But Fury's going to keep mouthing off. Eddie Hearn's going to keep potentially putting it out there because for both camps, whether it's made or whether it's not, the build-up's going to be unbelievable for it.
Oh,
I do
yeah.
believe Eddie Hearn wants to get it. I do believe that, but I don't think he's going to be in any rush to make it a summer, like a August clash. I think it's going to be another end of the year thing. But Joshua may have a little rest after this, but as we just said, I don't think he wants to take too long out. So Fury's going to mess him about. Obviously, he's on July the 9th, which is like a couple of weeks after Joshua. If he gets through that one, I do think that negotiations will be started straight away. I do genuinely believe that because there's just nothing else the fans want to see more than that.
No, they really
I mean,
don't.
Like we said about Warrington and what's his name? I've lost it today.
I'm trying to remember. I know what you're talking about, but I've lost it as well. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there you go. Don't worry, we'll go through. But yeah, unless they get in the ring with each other, basically, we don't want to see anything else. And I think that's
Selby.
What we're going to start to get with Joshua. There we go. I knew it was something going to be there. But yeah, unless Joshua and Fury get in together, it's always just going to be another American or another stepping stone on the way to a Fury fight. So, yeah, I do think that Eddie Holmes desperately wants to get that for the fans, and God, I think it'll sell out arenas over and over again.
Oh, Wembley Arena would get sold straight out. Wembley Stadium would get sold straight out. That'd be fantastic. Talking of a football ground that's going to be seeing a fight very soon, well, obviously Selby and Warrington, they won that just at the stadium that's opposite me right now, Elland Road. But Goodison Park is going to be seeing Tony Bellew not doing this for a movie, but fighting for real with this WBC world title shot against Ilunga Makabu. This is going to be one heck of a fight. I was talking to Dave Colwell about this, and all he could say was, we can't believe it. Tony's buzzing. We're buzzing. This is brilliant.
I can't believe I feel like I know him. I'm genuinely so happy he's got it at Goodison. Being a football fan myself, and knowing that he'd done that for the Creed film, and it's all built up for him. I mean, it's on his son's 8th birthday as well.
Oh, man.
He's been going to Goodison since he was a youngster. For me, this is what dreams are made of, and this is what boxing's all about, making dreams come true without sounding cheesy. And I think Bellew deserves it. I mean, he's 33 now. He's had two unsuccessful world title bids against Stevenson and Cleverly. But this opponent shouldn't be overlooked. I mean, I know it's his big dream to go at Goodison, and I'll be cheering him on from ringside. But I just think that this is a really dangerous opponent that people have forgotten to look at.
Mm.
So, I mean, everyone's talking about Goodison. Unbelievable for him. I think I'll give him respect for doing that and going forward, and the Everton chairman for believing in him. But he's a very... I googled him today, actually. He's very, very strong. He's very dangerous, but he's got a great defence. So I think it will go to the 12, and I just hope that Tony can do it. I mean, that Makabu, he lost his debut, fun fact of the afternoon. He lost his debut, but since then he's won 18 out of 19 fights by a stoppage.
Wow.
So
he's,
again,
he is lethal, fruit, isn't he, this guy?
He's lethal. He is lethal. And he's undefeated since his debut, but I don't think coming over here is going to bother him too much. I mean, he's got dangerous combinations, and Bellew said that he's good defensively, but the only thing he's noticed about him is he can be lazy in patches. So I think that's what Caldwell will be working on. I mean, I love him. I think he's a great coach. I think he'll be working on the patience, the sticking with it and waiting for an opening, which is obviously what boxing's about. But I don't think this Makuza can be overlooked.
The first stadium fight in Liverpool for 67 years, this one's going to be. And the Liverpool fan in me saying this is probably going to be the biggest success that Everton have ever had in that stadium with Tony Bellew winning the title there. That's the Liverpool fan in me. I'm not going to say anything else against Everton there. I said to Dave the other day, actually, this is probably the only time I'm ever going to be cheering on an Evertonian. You know, when he's going
for this. I'm Arsenal, so I do it with Spurs, and I totally understand what you mean, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know, it's all about the football, isn't it, at the end of the day? It's all about that. And James De Gale as well. You want to have a quick mention about James De Gale. Of course, he's setting his sights now on Badou Jack, isn't he? Some people have said he was a bit complacent in his last fight.
Well, that's exactly what I've put down here on my little notepad. That, yeah, I think he done what he had to do early on, and then he got a little bit complacent. He got a bit like sit back. He got a bit complacent in there, and a bit. I'm going to say the word. It's not a nice word because I'm a big fan of him, but he got a bit boring. He got a bit sit back and relax. And I think, as the psychologist that you just said, it's quite easy to do that when you're comfortable, when you think you've got the decision, it's your belt and whatever. It's so easy to get complacent. I mean, he did come through, but I do think he switched off a little bit against Medina. But you see how much it meant to him afterwards that he retained the belt and brought it back with him. But it looks like a clash with Badou Jack on the cards, and this super middleweight division is just getting even more great as the time goes on. I mean, De Gale said that he wants maybe Badou Jack to fight Callum Smith first, which has brought up a little bit of stink with Eddie Hearn.
Yeah.
Because obviously he doesn't want to rush him too much into that. But one thing I thought that would be quite funny is Eddie Hearn put an interview up 2 days ago, and he said one of the reasons that he fell out with James De Gale wasn't anything to do with contract talks. It was to do with that he wanted 3 tickets for the Joshua fight and not 2.
Oh, really?
That just shows you. Ringside ticket for Joshua fight caused problems with everybody.
But, again, when I was talking with Dave, he said, as soon as this fight got announced, he said, my phone just started going. Everyone just wanting tickets.
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone was at it.
So, yeah, James wanted 3 and Eddie could only give him 2, and it caused a massive argument. But he said he's still quite close with the girl and he's looking forward to working with him in the future. So, let's hope that that super middleweight division... I mean, you could easily do a super 6 of that super middleweight division, especially with Groves and Murray having the eliminator. I mean, you could there's so much talent in there that I don't know who I'd pick. For me, the front runner is Callum Smith. I think he's got everything. He's got the boxing ability, the power, the height, the defence, everything. So it'll be exciting to see what the future brings in that division.
Yeah, it's going to be brilliant. Sure, boxing's just in such a good place right now. Really is. It's just like a real renaissance period for it. There's so many good fighters out there. So many great matches going to be happening. I can't wait for Canelo and Khan on over the weekend, Saturday night, Sunday morning, whatever you want to call it. But it's going to be absolutely cracking. And then these big fights we've got coming up are going to be so, so good. Brooke, we'll speak to you soon. Hopefully we'll speak to you after we find out whether Khan is going to be coming back victorious or not.